much. I'd just like to tell a little story. While I was looking up information for my talk, I came across something interesting I thought I'd share with you guys. So when cotton first started being produced, it was produced in India in roughly medieval times, and Europeans had never seen cotton before, and so they said, well, it looks kind of like wool, so this must be what it looks like, a lamb attached to a plant. So cotton is not such a novel thing anymore, and it's actually produced in many countries over the world, with China being the leading producer in cotton, with India and the United States following. And within the United States, most of the cotton is produced within the southern region, Texas being the number one producer, and Georgia and Arkansas to follow. Cotton is a very intensively managed crop, as most of you know, with constantly being plagued by insects and disease and other types of injury. So genetic modification has come to be something fairly common in this crop. And in 1995, the first genetically modified cotton was produced. It was resistant to the herbicide bromoxynil, which provided excellent control of morning glory in cotton. And the BT cotton followed that, and then Roundup Ready followed that as well, which gives it resistance to the herbicide glyphosate. The first stacked gene was BT and glyphosate in 1998. And as of 2008, 94.6% of our cotton produced was transgenic. And this is reflected in our top five varieties. The number one variety planted in the United States was Delta Pine 555. The rest of the varieties are all genetically modified, most with being having some sort of BT trait and the Roundup Ready technology. The number one cotton variety in Texas, since we're here, was the Fibermax 9058 line, which is the number three most planted variety in the United States. So the objectives of this project was to determine the effects of technology on germplasm performance. There were two different lines of cotton with herbicide-resistant traits, a Coker line, which had resistance to glyphosate, and a Fibermax line, which had resistance to glyphosate and glufosinate. The herbicides we used, glyphosate and glufosinate, are somewhat similar. They're both foliar-applied, post-emergence herbicides with broad-spectrum, non-selective weed range. In this study, there were 10 sites spread over 5 states. 8 of the sites, represented by the blue markers, are crop-tolerant sites, and there were 2 weed control sites, one in Georgia and one in North Carolina, and those are represented by the red markers. There were 8 treatments in this study. As I said before, the Coker line had only resistance to glyphosate, so there was an untreated glyphosate, untreated Coker line, and a Coker line with 4 applications of glyphosate during the season. The next 6 treatments are the Fibermax line. There was an untreated line. There was glyphosate at 4 times per season, Ignite at 4 times per season, and sequential of glyphosate, Ignite, and then the next one was reversed, Ignite, glyphosate, and then the last treatment had a tank mix of Ignite and glyphosate at 4 times during the season. The glyphosate rate was at 48 ounces per acre, and the Ignite, which is also glufosinate, was at 33 ounces per acre. As this was spread across 5 states, the cotton crop was planted as was appropriate to the region, which ranged from April 30th to May 29th. The first application was at the 1-3 true leaf stage, the second application at the 6-8 true leaf stage, the third application at 14-16, and the fourth application at the 40-60% open bowls. The crop tolerant sites were kept weed free, and the method varied by location. We recorded stand data, injury data, and height data, yield, lint quality, such as fiber length, strength, micronair, and uniformity. And at the weed sites, we recorded Palmer amaranth control data. As stand was taken before the first application of herbicide, I just am showing the untreated results, which reflect the whole study. The Glytol Coker line had 2.4 plants per foot, and the Glytol Liberty Link Fibermax line had 2.9 plants per foot, and this is to be expected since the Fibermax line is a little bit more of a vigorous line. Visual injury throughout the season, I just decided to make it one slide since there was no visual injury recorded, just about. So, as you know, this is what that's showing, no injury. This slide is showing height at 7 to 14 days after the first application. The eight treatments are on the x-axis, with the first two being the Coker line, with Glytol untreated, Glytol at four times with glyphosate at four times during the season. The next six are Glytol Liberty Link untreated, and then glyphosate at four times per season, Ignite at four times per season, the sequential of Ignite, glyphosate, the reverse sequential of glyphosate, Ignite, glyphosate, Ignite, and then the tank mix of Ignite and glyphosate four times per season. The vertical axis, we'll go with that, has height in centimeters. There's a significant difference between the Coker line and the Fibermax line. However, when you compare the treated to the untreated, there is no difference. And this is a slide at 46 to 54 days after application, height again on the vertical axis, and there is again no difference between the treated and the untreated. For yield with pounds per acre on the y-axis, there is a difference between the two lines, the Coker line and the Fibermax line. However, comparing the treated to the untreated, there is no difference. Regarding fiber length, with length in inches on the y-axis, and I've also provided length in 30 seconds at the bottom of the slide, as that is another method of measurement. There's a significant difference between the two lines, with the Coker line showing a bit more, a significant amount more length in the fibers as compared to the Fibermax line. However, the Fibermax line shows that there's little to no difference in fiber length within the line, comparing the treated to the untreated, as with the Coker line. And with micronair on the y-axis, there is a significant difference again between the two lines. However, there is no difference comparing within line treated to untreated for either line. And the ideal micronair levels are generally considered to be between 3.8 to 4.5, and the Coker line overshoots that, whereas the Fibermax line is a little bit more in that range. Regarding strength, with grams per tex on the y-axis, there is a significant difference, again, between the Coker line and the Fibermax line. However, within the lines, comparing the treated to the untreated for both, there is no difference. And a strength of 31 grams per tex and above is generally considered to be a very strong fiber, and both of these are well within that range. For uniformity, with uniformity percentage on the y-axis, again, the Coker line is a bit more uniform, or significantly more uniform, I should say. However, when comparing within the line for Coker and the Fibermax line, there is little to no significant difference, and a uniformity of 82.5 to 85.4 is still considered highly uniform. We're going to switch gears to the weed sites now, the Macon County, Georgia site, as I think you might have heard of it by now, with early season control of the glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth, with percent control on the y-axis, having a glyphosate-only program with the Glytol line and the Glytol Liberty Link line shows that there's only 15% control achieved. And with the Glytol Liberty Link line, starting out the sequential with the glyphosate, you only achieve 70% control, whereas the programs that use Ignite early have 100% control. In the late season, numbers are very much the same. However, when you look at the glyphosate sequential, you see that control has dropped to about 47.5%. And to kind of illustrate this, I would like to show you if you have a small Palmer amaranth at about 2 inches tall, if you are able to spray it with Ignite, you can pretty much kill it, as you can see. However, if you're in a resistant situation, you spray glyphosate first, you let the Palmer amaranth get above 3 to 4 inches tall, and then come back with Ignite, you might kill it some, but, well, some is just not enough, and you'll experience regrowth. So for the Rocky Mount, North Carolina site, with glyphosate-sensitive Palmer amaranth, in the early season, spraying anything, you'll achieve between 98 to 100% control. And this is the same for the late season, again with 98 to 100% control. So in conclusion, there's no significant injury from using an herbicide program. The FiberMax line has better stand growth, yield, and micronair, whereas the Coker line has better fiber quality such as length, strength, and uniformity. However, this can be attributed to the different germplasms and not the herbicide program. Within the lines, there is no difference between the control and the treated. For the weed control sites, if you're in a glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth setting, the use of Ignite early was vital to control. In a sensitive Palmer amaranth setting, the use of Ignite is not necessary. However, it's still a good way to prevent populations from shifting to a glyphosate-resistant population. So I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I'll be taking questions.